You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports Daily NFL Podcast. I'm Will Brinson. I'm your host. It is Monday, October 19th, and we are going to, oh boy, and it just rolls right along, doesn't it? Just the Braves kicking me in the face. I guess I already covered that on Sunday's podcast. You can go to listen to that if you want to hear the a man drowning his sorrows over a baseball team gagging up a 3-1 lead. If you want to hear about the two Monday Night Football games with myself and Jordan DeJohnny, stick where you are because we're going to cover them. Jordan, we're going to break down Kansas City at Buffalo and Arizona at Dallas. Two meaty games. How you doing, man?
I'm doing fantastic. I mean, I guess all things considered, I was a Braves fan as well. I was rooting for that game. So it was a tough night. But at the same time, you know, we got two great football games tonight. So hopefully that can turn our luck around.
Yeah, I definitely didn't, like, put all of my, hopes and dreams into a 49ers-Braves money line parlay. I would never do something like stupid as that. I mean, what do I look like, a moron? All right, let's get to it. Kansas City 4-1 against the spread. So is Buffalo. Excuse me. They're both Buffalo and Kansas City are 3-2 against the spread. 4-1 straight up, of course. And Buffalo has been smashing overs. Kansas City 2-3 to the over. Buffalo has not lost consecutive games against the spread since week 7 and 8 of last year. They're 3-0-2 against the spread following their last 5 against the spread losses. Kansas City has not lost consecutive games against the spread since weeks 5 and 6 against the spread. Something has to give. They always cover after they screw up the cover the week before. 4-0 against the spread following their last 4 losses against the spread. Oh boy. What do you think about Kansas City and Buffalo? Because to me, this is easy. It's the Chiefs.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you on that one. And I don't know if it's necessarily easy, but Kansas City has looked very sketchy in all their divisional games, right? Whether it was the Chargers, they lost to the Raiders last week. So I don't want to take those two performances too seriously. This is still the reigning Super Bowl champions. They have a great chance to go back-to-back. As for the Bills, it would have been an interesting matchup had they not got their wheels blown off by the Tennessee Titans on Tuesday Night Football. You and me both had that game wrong, unfortunately. But yeah, Josh Allen threw his first 2 interceptions of the season. I like the Bills. I think they're like a legitimate contender in the AFC per se, but the Chiefs are the better team right now. And that 5.5 spread is something that I'm going to put my money on.
Yeah. And you know, look, this has moved. It was 3.5 when it opened and now it's 5.5. The over under has dropped down to 55.5. The implication here is that obviously Kansas City is going to control the game, going to control the tempo, going to score, but not run up the score and not get involved in a shootout. And I think that's sort of where my head would be at on the, so like in terms of what I expected from the game, I like the odds move. I wish I'd, you know, gotten my bets in earlier because now I have to deal with the fact that the line has moved against me. But I do think that Kansas City is the better team. I think Kansas City will control the tempo. I don't think Kansas City is interested in like, allowing the Bills to get into this back and forth, like Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen have a contest to see who throws the ball further. I don't think they want to do that. I think they want to run the football, take their deep shots when they can, dink and dunk if they need to, and force Josh Allen on the other side to sort of press a little bit. And if you force Josh Allen into pressing, you put Buffalo in a very bad spot offensively. And you can really kind of flip the tables on him. If he's pressing and he's trying to throw jam balls into tight windows or like force situations, he will give you turnovers. And I also think we saw Tennessee against Buffalo on Tuesday run basically a zone that said, all right, look, man, you can have 5 yards rushing all you want. You can run a crosser to Stephon Diggs on every play if you want. But if you want to take a shot down the field or move the ball effectively, you're going to have to be super patient and then jam one into a tight window. And I think Kansas City is going to do the same thing. That's not necessarily their defensive nature, but we've seen them do that against Lamar Jackson. Like that's sort of what they're willing to do. They're willing to adjust. So to me, they are basically going to put this on Josh Allen and say, can you be a patient pocket passer who, you know, is willing to take what we give you and not force the situation? And I don't know that he can do that yet.
Yeah, no, it's a good point. And what you said about the narrative about Kansas City wants to control the game and they don't want to necessarily get into a shootout, that's very true. But at the same time, if Josh Allen can prove that he can be a patient pocket passer, if he can stretch the field, if he can start that conversation, that battle between arms between him and Mahomes, then this will end up being a shootout, because I think we can agree it has the makings of one if we just look at who's playing under center and what bodes well for both teams on the offensive side of the ball. So that over under is high. I am actually leaning on taking the over, and I was talking to Debo about this before the show. It's dropped like 3 points over the past week, and it dropped 2 points in just the last 12 hours, believe it or not. So I'm still leaning toward the over. I still think we could see something like a 35-30 game, something like that. Because
I will say this too: if you ever see an over drop like that, the first thing you need to do is check the location, and the second thing you need to do is check the weather.
The weather,
looking like 60-70% chance of rain in Buffalo, 48 and cold. This is not the weather for a shootout. You know, this is a Buffalo football game, and I think if you're this is why, to me, the line is sliding towards the Chiefs and the under, is because it favors the Chiefs, their ability to control the clock, to not turn the ball over. And Josh Allen, like, dude, if you're a maniac, let's say you like to get on the highway and move around at high speeds, and you're typically like, you know, a little loosey goosey with how you drive, right? Well, if you introduce rain into the equation, guess what gets looser? You're driving. So like, it's an analogy here, people. Like, Josh Allen is a little loosey goosey out there. And when you introduce rain and inclement weather, it's only going to make him a little bit looser in that sense. So yeah, by the way, looks like it's going to rain for the next 42 days in Buffalo. Maybe live somewhere else.
And maybe I should have checked the weather on that one then.
That's fine. I mean, all right. So let's talk about these player props for this game. What stands out to you as a possible prop that you would like to get involved in?
Yeah, just talking about the quarterbacks real quick. The 41.5 passing attempts for Patrick Mahomes, that sounds really high. But, yeah, he's actually crossed that mark 3 out of 5 times this season. Still, I think I'm going to take the under on that, especially when you bring up the point about the weather and the fact that, yeah, the Chiefs don't necessarily want to get in a shootout. And with the rain, it's going to be hard to do that as well. So when it comes to the passing touchdowns, you know, Patrick Mahomes doesn't necessarily have to throw for 600 yards if he wants to throw for 2 or 3 scores. So I looked at that, and the juice was it's at over plus 140. That's juiced over 2.5 passing touchdowns. So I'll consider that, because I think if they get into the red zone, if Clyde Edwards-Helaire sets them up, then he can find Travis Kelce a couple times, find CEH 1 times through the air. So I think that's a possible nice play. When it comes to Josh Allen real quickly, he's reached 24 completions in every game so far this season, and that's where the line's set at, 24.5. And I do like that over there. Even if we're not expecting a shootout, I still think that the Buffalo bodes well when they keep the ball in the air, even if it's like we saw against Tennessee last week where it's just Stephon Diggs running under routes. I mean, he had like 10 receptions against the Titans. So I like the over on the completions there. And he's thrown for at least 2 touchdowns in every game so far this season. So I would maybe consider the over at the 1.5 line there. And listen, again, we don't have to expect a shootout for him to throw 2 touchdowns. That's not a crazy line. So I'm considering the over there as well.
Looking at the one that stands out to me is Clyde Edwards-Helaire's total rushing attempts, which is 17.5 at William Hill. Over 17.5 is plus 110. It's currently juiced to the under. I think, given the game script and the weather, that favors the wrong side. If you look at his rushing attempts against the Texans in week 1, 25 rushing attempts, 10 against the Chargers in week 2, 20 against the Ravens in week 3, 16 against the Patriots in week 4, and then 10 against the Raiders in week 5. So I would understand why you'd be like, I don't know if I really want to take that over. But if you think that the Chiefs are going to be leading this game in bad weather, the games that they were leading, you know, Houston and Baltimore, he's going to get 20-plus carries. You know, Le'Veon Bell's not going to play in this game, right?
Sure. Right.
I mean, I'd be shocked if he played in this game. I love the over there for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. If we think the Chiefs are going to be leading and you can get that at plus money, I like that a lot. I don't understand why he would be I think it's favored the wrong way is what I'm saying. I don't want to, and by the way, you can tell where Vegas is going with this game, or Jersey's going with this game, I suppose. Patrick Mahomes total passing touchdowns, the under 2.5 is -160. That is a heavily juiced under for a guy who throws a bunch of passing touchdowns against a defense that hadn't been great. His passing yards at 306.5. I would consider the under. I would just be considering a lot of unders here if we think this weather is going to be a problem. And if we think that, so in these situations, we see these numbers either rise when people start hammering the overs, if something looks like it's going to be a good bet, or they start dropping like crazy, and player props are a nice market to jump in on because they're going to adjust later than the total. So I would be looking at the under on a bunch of this stuff, knowing, of course, that, you know, you can get scorched here. if the Chiefs are down 14-0 and they have to pass a bunch. Same with Mahomes under passing attempts, 41.5. He's not going to throw it 40 times. Take the under.
There's another under that I was kind of interested in because it's juice, and that's Tyreek Hill total receptions. Last I checked was under 5.5 is at +120. And like you said, if the weather's going to affect this game, Hill has yet to catch more than 5 passes in a single game this season. So put that, I think it's another example where it's favored the wrong way. The under +120 is free money to me.
Yeah, that's a good call. So Hill, so far this year, 5.5543. And he still has tons of yard. You know, he still has good yardage. He has, you know, 4 of his 5 games, he has a touchdown catch, but he doesn't need a ton of reception. Like, Tyreek Hill's never going to lead the league in receptions. He might lead the league in receiving yards. We ain't never going to lead the league in receptions. I like that. Okay. Now this one is a little weird though. Tyreek Hill's longest reception is 24.5. That's too small.
He averages
16.5 yards per catch. That's crazy. That's too small. If you got William Hill and you can get Tyreek Hill over longest reception 24.5, I think that's a smash. And we're saying we like the unders. I get it. But like, he's still going to catch, unless it's just an absolute monsoon for the entire game, he's going to catch a ball and get more than 24.5 yards. He just does it every single game. So I would look towards that. That would be the one over I would look at. All right. Let's get to the next game. And if anybody has questions that they want to ask, we'll do DFS at the end, of course. If anybody has questions about player props that they want to go with, by all means, let us know. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we will hit the other game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, so the Cardinals and the Cowboys. By the way, that Chiefs-Bills game is 5:10 p.m. Eastern. That is early. Lovely.
I love it. Yeah, I'm all about it. More football.
4:10 p.m. Eastern for you in Nashville, right?
Yeah.
That's crazy. So you're like at the office, or in theory at the office. I guess nobody's in an office anymore. Cardinals at Cowboys. Cowboys now favored. The Cardinals have been favored all week. The Cowboys and Andy Dalton in primetime now favored. The over under 55 in this game. What are your thoughts here, Jordan?
This line has bounced all over the place. I mean, the Cowboys were initially 3-point favorites over the Cardinals when it opened up. And then, of course, Dak Prescott goes down with his injury. Then it swaps all the way over to 2.5-point favorites for the Cardinals. Now it went back to a pick 'em, and now the Cowboys are favored again. So to be honest with you, it's better just to come out and admit it straight up. I've bounced back and forth on this game. When I published my predictions piece earlier this week on Thursday, or last week, Thursday, I had the Cardinals as a mortal lock over the Cowboys. I mean, Andy Dalton's coming in. We don't know how that offense is going to look with a change under quarterback. So, but now I'm starting to flip-flop back. I mean, I think that Andy Dalton, there's worse backup quarterbacks to have coming in. And I think there's a possibility that McCarthy inserts him into the lineup. He doesn't do much differently, if anything differently. Ezekiel Elliott's even getting more touches in both the run game and the passing game. And the Cardinals, they've been kind of spotty on defense. And while they rebounded and got back into the win column with a 30-10 win over the New York Jets, the worst team in football, they lost 2 games before that to the Detroit Lions and the Carolina Panthers. So the Cardinals are good, obviously, but with the Dallas Cowboys having this kind of change under center, it might be something that juices this team. So honestly, I'm probably not going to put money on this line, but I will put money on the over. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, I'm torn here. So the Cardinals have been great to the under this year. They did lose Chandler Jones as a big blow to their defense, so that's concerning. The Cowboys have been unbelievable to the over. Every over with the Cowboys cashes because their defense is terrible. I think I would lean under here instead. I'm going to go against you because I – and maybe I'm wrong, and maybe a shootout breaks out, and certainly both these teams can score if they want to. But I do think the Cardinals, because of the way that they play, the air raid, while you know it's like, oh, air raid, tons of points, it's actually a little more methodical than people think. Kyler Murray had been stretching the field a ton this year. And I think that the Cowboys are probably going to try to get down to pounding the ball. Like, I think they're going to try and, like, bring back their Jason Garrett roots and really lean on Zeke Elliott. They don't want to make Andy Dalton the focal point. I think they're scared of what might happen if they do, and I don't blame them. Now, again, it could turn into a shootout. Betting an under in 2020 is a dangerous proposition. I don't feel good about it. I don't like it. I would much rather be on the over and, like, rooting for it. But I could just see a situation where the team sort of, it's sort of like a feel it out type of game where there's not a ton of scoring early on. The only danger here is that I don't think, unlike the Packers Bucks game, which inexplicably went under yesterday afternoon, I don't think that this game has the potential to be like 38-10 and you just sort of run out the clock. I think that is unlikely. So I would go under, and I have, I think I'm 10-2 against the spread this week. Pretty good. I think I have Arizona right now sort of leaning towards flip. I'm not going to change anything midstream because I'm hot right now, but I'm a little worried about Arizona. I got Arizona and I'm a little worried about it. I have the two road teams tonight and I'm a little concerned, but I will stick with Arizona. Maybe I'm just going to bet props on this. What props do you like?
Yeah, first off, I love disagreeing because one of us is going to be right, so nobody has to be wrong about everything.
Yeah, but I don't even
right?
feel good about it. It's 8:15 on a Monday night. I'm definitely going to bet. I'm going to end up betting something stupid on it and losing money, but whatever.
I promise I don't think every game is going to turn into a shootout when I come on this podcast with you, but I think that the Cowboys –
60% of them have so far this year, so I wouldn't worry about it too much.
Yeah, that's true. I told you to take the under on the Titans game, and that did not come to fruition. I think you had the over, though, so you were able to brag about that one. But with the props, you know, you might not like these because, again, I think that this could be somewhat of a shootout, and that I think it's going to go over, obviously. But how about CeeDee Lamb total receptions over 4.5? Now, it's at -125. But we have to have this conversation. Is it possible that CeeDee Lamb is the best receiver on the Cowboys right now? I mean, he's got at least five passes in all five – or what is it? At least five passes in all five games this season.
It's absolutely possible. I'm not placating to you. Like, I said he was the third best player in the draft behind Joe Burrow and Chase Young. Like, I love CeeDee Lamb. Like, my pinned tweet on my profile is about CeeDee Lamb. I love CeeDee Lamb. He's great. He's awesome. He's already great. He's like already a Pro Bowl caliber wide receiver, and he's a rookie, and he's like five games into his career. He's going to be all the Cowboys have three number one wide receivers. That's just the bottom line.
Yeah,
Amari Cooper's probably getting cut this offseason. They're probably getting rid of Amari, and I'm dead serious. They're going to go with CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup. Like, if the Falcons had taken CeeDee Lamb, Dan Quinn would still have a job. I believe that.
I like the over there. I think that he'll find some chemistry with Andy Dalton. Here's one that really surprised me. I like those first touchdown score odds because you can get good value on them. But Ezekiel Elliott's the clear favorite, right? But he's still at +500. So I was surprised by those odds. I thought it was going to be like +250 or +200 or something like that. For Ezekiel Elliott to score the first touchdown at +500, I really like that. I like some of these double results too. Ezekiel Elliott and Kyler Murray to score touchdowns at +240. I think most people are going to agree that Ezekiel Elliott will find the end zone tonight. But Kyler Murray, I mean, he's averaging, I think, one rushing touchdown per game. He's had at least one rushing touchdown per game, except for one game earlier this season. So basically the prop is, does Kyler Murray rush in for a touchdown? And that's +240. You can double down if you want to, and he's +138 for any time touchdown score as well. I think there's really good value there.
I like that a lot. I would say Kyler Murray +138 anytime touchdown score is very good. I agree with you completely. Zeke Elliott is 5-1 is the wrong number for him to be the first touchdown scorer. They feed him in the red zone, and he is very likely to score there. I think he should. I would sprinkle on Zeke. I would take Kyler Murray at 10-1 to be first touchdown scorer. And I'll tell you the sneaky one that I would put a little something on: Andy Dalton first touchdown scorer,
nice,
33-1. Like, these quarterbacks in these primetime games are just sneaky. They're just rushing in. I guess Aaron Rodgers didn't count, but it's just happening. Like, just take the quarterbacks. They got good odds. You can sneak something. By the way, Tony Pollard, is he on here? Where's Tony Pollard for first touchdown score? Cause sometimes they'll plug in Pollard down in the red zone. Tony Pollard 28-1. I don't hate that either. So I'll probably be on those four guys. I like your first touchdown score. Notes. I don't really love a whole lot of props, particularly from this game, but I would say that if I was looking at something, Zeke Elliott, I need to see Zeke's, total rushing attempts. Oh, over 21.5. I like the over 21.5 there, plus 100. That's a lot of rushing attempts. I get it, but I think, and it is possible that I don't think that even if they're trailing, I don't think you're going to see the Cowboys abandon the run, right? He has 14, 12, and 19. I think that they're going to try and maintain tempo and take the pressure off their defense by running the football. So I think he comes out of the gate and gets like 7 or 8 on their first two series, minimum. And so I think we get to 22 plus, although it is concerning that that's the highest number he's had all season. I mean, he's not on pace for a ton of carries this year. It's weird. All right. That's, what about DFS? So, DFS is a little tricky this week because there are multiple ways that you can play. There's a double you can play with, the full 2-game slate that starts at 5 o'clock and involves, you know, it's like a traditional style classic lineup, where you can use Patrick Mahomes, Kyler Murray, Josh Allen, Andy Dalton, any of those quarterbacks, and you build out a lineup. If you do that, you just gotta figure out who the Robert Tonyan on the slate is, right? And I would say that looking at some of these prices, like Andy Isabella is a guy at the wide receiver position I would be using to plug in. What I would do in this spot is build out, you know, the chalk is going to be skill position guys from the Cowboys and Cardinals game. And then people will, so if you wanted to differentiate yourself, you could go with skill position guys from the early game. It's going to be a little dangerous, I'm guessing. But I think you're probably going to want to have a defense from that first game based on how it goes. Oh, I guess the Chiefs are playing, so maybe it'll be, man, this is a spicy. I mean, this is like 15 of like the top like level guys that you normally see on a DFS slate showing up, for this 2-game slate. That's incredible. All right. So anyway, I mean, the differentiation is not going to be easy in that spot because there are so many top tier guys. So look for, you know, a Blake Bell as your tight end, someone in that game, or, you know, like a Tony Pollard, who you can slide in as a flex. And if he ends up getting a bunch of carries or he gets a red zone touchdown, that's how you can sort of differentiate yourself. From a captain standpoint, looking at the early game, obviously Mahomes is the top captain, Josh Allen, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, Stephon Diggs. I like Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
I was about to say that. He's too far down on that list. Yeah. He's got to be decent value as a captain.
Yeah. So if you go with Edwards-Helaire as the captain and you're assuming, because I think people are going to be off of him. There's a little down sentiment with Le'Veon Bell signing. You know, you can add in, you could assume that this is going to be a low scoring game. You can grab Devin Singletary, Stephon Diggs, Travis Kelce. You can't get Mahomes in there, obviously. But you could squeeze in a defense or, if you go with, I'm going to do the math on this one. If you go with, Singletary, Kelce, Allen and Diggs, you can't get all those guys in there. So you could bail on the two quarterbacks. Assume it's going to be a low scoring game and you could plug in, the two kickers, grab Harrison Butker, and then you can squeeze in like a Gabe Davis or a Chiefs defense. This is the lineup I would do. So you go Edwards-Helaire is the captain, Chiefs defense, Butker, Kelce, Stephon Diggs and Devin Singletary. So you're assuming Josh Allen's going to have a bad game and the Chiefs are going to minimize what the Bills can do, and that you're going to see a bunch of runs and a bunch of kicks.
Yeah, and Stephon Diggs is still going to get his touches, right? Because he's targeted through the offense all throughout the game, early and often. What do you think about captain for the Cowboys-Cardinals game?
Yeah, looking at that, I would say that Andy Dalton is cheap. I mean, 14-4. I mean, he's not cheap, but 14-4 relative to Kyler at 18-6. I wouldn't mind going with Dalton. And I wouldn't mind going with your boy CeeDee Lamb. I think Kenyon Drake would also be an option there at 9-9 if you think that they can run the football effectively against Dallas, which is something that you can typically do. I think people will gravitate towards fading the Cowboys defense in this spot would be my guess.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, the other guy, I like the other Dalton a lot too, Dalton Schultz. I think he has some good value as well.
A little spicy Dalton Schultz. Yeah, yeah. I think Schultz – the way that he plays, he catches balls on the field. We've seen the Cardinals get lit up by tight ends. That makes a lot of sense. I think you can plug him in there. Looking down to see Gallup at 8-4. I would be plugging in Michael Gallup in all of my lineups tonight, whether it's showdown or regular, because Andy Dalton showed a proclivity at the end of that game to target Michael Gallup. Be curious to see how that plays out. If he ends up being like the guy that Andy Dalton looks towards, he could be a fantastic value in DFS across the board. All right. Any other values you spot in here? The defenses are dirt cheap. No surprise. Cedric Wilson, by the way, that guy just shows up and makes plays. He has 48 fantasy points in the last 3 weeks. He's somebody who's cheap that you can get in there if you think it's going to be a shootout, or if you want to get yourself some leverage off of the main wide pass catchers.
Yeah. I mean, what is he? 3,600, I think. That's really good value there.
It's a freebie.
And how about the Cowboys kicker? Possibly. Like, you don't think it's going to be a shootout. I think it's going to be a shootout. He might get a lot of play today. Might be a great fantasy play. Might be a great DFS play. So I would consider putting him at the end of your lineup as well.
Kickers can score points too. All right, Jordan Johnny, great stuff as always, buddy. We will talk to you soon.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
I'm Mark Chapman. Welcome to the Planet Premier League podcast. Each week, Cesc Fabregas, Nader Manua and myself talk all things Premier League.
As a player, you don't have time to talk.
No.
You don't have time to make a plan. You just need to deal with wave after wave after wave.
We watched Coach Carter and he said, oh, afterwards, the game's just about doing this for your teammates. And I remember looking around halfway through the film and half the squad was asleep.
Planet Premier League. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.